coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation.
It's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most diehard Georgia fans in the country.
Here are your hosts,
Tyler and Charlie.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and I'm not flying solo today. Back with me today for the first time since I think the week leading into the national championship game is my coach, Charlie. So, Charlie, it's been a minute. What's up, champ?
I'm alive.
You realize you're a champ now. You're a champion.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're a champion.
I was a little confused.
Yeah, you looked at me like, why are you calling me champ?
I am wearing my national champion sweatshirt.
Yeah, this is actually, that's killer. Where did you get that?
Alumni Hall.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That was not planned, guys. I promise you. This was not planned. You actually got that Alumni Hall?
I did not pick it out.
That's nice.
My husband picked it out for
me. Is that unisex?
No.
Because I would totally wear that.
No. This would, no.
I mean, I don't know. It's nice. Yeah, I can see it. No. Yeah, that's a
woman's
shirt.
This is not a unisex fit.
That's a sorority girl fit. That's what I would call that.
If you wore this out.
Well, you're sitting down, so I didn't see the fit. I just saw, like, it's a sweatshirt, and the logo is actually very nice. Is that Nike? What is that?
No? It's, like, some strange brand.
Some women's brand?
But it has the old...
Yes, it has...
Ugga.
Like, the old Bulldog logo. Yeah. Yes, the one whose, like, his jaw is displaced, but it's, like, the greatest logo that we have that we never really use, but we should use it way more. Looks nice. I like that. I like that. So, how do you feel? So, does it feel like... to me, I feel like I'm in, like... a whole different plane of existence.
I feel like I finally recovered.
From
the trip?
Okay, the trip. Not just becoming a national champion?
Yeah, it was exhausting.
Well, I guess let's go there, Charlie. So, yes, I know, obviously, you made the trip to the Great White North of the game. And I also remember, I think the last time we talked, I think it was the week leading into the game, right?
Well, and I saw you in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, exactly. I know you were there, but I think the last time that we had you on the show...
Yeah.
Was like the week before, like that week going into the game.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute. I remember vividly though, because one of our very good listeners who's been listening for a long time, actually also by the name of Charlie, spells it different than you, but good guy, great guy. He actually lives in Indianapolis. He actually sent me an email and he was not happy with us, the show. And I get it because, you know, he likes the city, respects the city, loves the city. But it really was you. It was you, Charlie, who was ripping Indianapolis before you ever stepped foot in the city.
No, it was a great city. I just don't like to be cold. Great atmosphere, great town for events. Atlanta should take some notes.
Absolutely.
I just don't like to be cold.
Okay, let me say something outrageous here. I don't think it was that cold.
I don't think it was that cold either.
People are just talking about, oh my God, it was so cold. Yeah, sure, when it's like below 30, it's going to be cold. But be prepared. Bundle up.
Right. Luckily, I didn't have to be outside longer than the walk to the stadium. Now, I will say it was not a long walk, but my fingers were in pain while I was standing in line.
You're not wearing gloves?
Yes, I was wearing gloves. That's the thing, is my fingers get miserably cold to where they like
start
to ache. I
got in like 12 seconds.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, that was the only time I was cold.
Honestly, you know what was worse? Standing in line for the national championship in 2018 outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium for 3 hours in the freezing cold rain.
I stood in line for 2 hours and 17 minutes that day.
Yeah, it was 2 to 3 hours. I can't remember exactly how long. I didn't time it, but it was a long time. It was literally freezing cold rain.
Oh, I timed it.
That was way worse.
It was 2 hours and 17 minutes.
That was way worse.
No, Indianapolis was a great city.
It was fantastic. I loved it.
I wish I could have run outside, but I was not going to do that.
You didn't do it?
No.
I wasn't going to. I was going to run the treadmill. And Charlie actually was very nice of offered to run with me. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to run inside. It's going to be too cold. And I woke up that morning. I was like, you know what? I'm feeling it. Let's go. So,
no.
Charlie, I'm sorry, man. But yeah, I had a great... It was so flat.
Well, the thing is I get up really early. And the sun didn't come up until like it was late. And I don't like to run. I run in the dark during the week in Athens.
Yeah, I mean, if a place that you
don't
know.
But if I don't
know,
where I am...
Yeah, but you're a woman,
you're
you don't know where you
are. If
you're
running
for
an hour, that's like...
Fair. No. But I thoroughly enjoyed Indianapolis. And yes, like, obviously it was cold, but I was prepared for the cold. Once you layered up and wore a jacket. Like, I would see Georgia fans out there like polos and like a windbreaker. I'm like, yeah, I get why you're cold, but like, if you're just prepared,
no,
it's not that
city.
Bad. No, it was fantastic. I think this is the first episode, because you basically review all of our road trips and...
I think you
basically rip all of them. Is this the first positive road trip review of the season for you?
Possibly.
No,
Lexington.
We didn't go to Lexington.
Oh, no, that was the year before.
We didn't travel to Lexington.
I'm already thinking ahead.
Yeah, you like Knoxville. You like Knoxville.
And we didn't go to South... Did we go to South Carolina? I like South Carolina. We went to South Carolina.
Who went to South Carolina?
Did we go to South
Carolina? You went to South Carolina?
I am so lost.
We didn't play at South Carolina this year.
Yeah, sorry. It's been a while.
We played at South Carolina last year, and it was like the weird like netherworld where there was like 12 people in the stadium, and it was the end of the year, and it was awful.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything to write home about this year.
I think you liked Knoxville, didn't you? I remember you saying...
Yeah, I like Knoxville.
I think you... Did you like it? I think you said you liked it better than Nashville.
No, I like Knoxville.
Okay, okay. Knoxville's fine. Knoxville's good.
And you can gamble in Tennessee, and it's not far to get there.
Yeah, George needs to fix that. It's never going to happen in this state, but that needs to happen quickly. But all right, anyway, as for the content of today's show, it's time to rewind the clock all the way back to the last week of August, Charlie. Do you remember those days? Last week of August.
Not really.
We were all brimming with excitement, the possibilities of what could be as we entered yet another new Georgia football season. And every year at that time, Charlie, you know what we do. We do our preseason predictions episode where we predict the win-loss record for every single SEC team. Each of us, we take a helmet schedule and we pick every single game on the SEC calendar and we give you our official hold us to them predictions. And then at the conclusion of each season, which is now, we have a lot of fun every year coming on here and reviewing what we got right and even more fun reviewing what we got wrong. And as is always the case, yeah, we nailed some of our picks, and then we were way off on others, and it's time to hold ourselves accountable here, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to have some fun with this. And Charlie, I'm going to let you drive the ship today. I know you've got the win-loss records. I glanced over these before you came back in, but I honestly don't remember every one. I have like a vague idea of who I picked where, but it'll be a lot of fun to go back and see what we got so wrong. And hopefully we got a few of them right. But where are we going to start? We start in the East, right?
All right. I'm going to preface this by saying, please bear with me because I have different pieces of paper that I'm going back and forth.
Whose fault is that, Charlie?
Well, it's easier to go back and forth with physical paper than tabs on the computer.
It is certainly not.
And I don't like to split my screen because I don't have my glasses.
I just want to reiterate for everyone out there. I know if all of you have been listening to us all season. You know, like with our picks episodes, which we need to do that, Charlie. We need to go back and review our final scores. Did we even calculate the bowl picks yet? We need to do that. But anyway, it's
going to
be really hard because I got to go find the paper that you write all these things on. It'd be so much easier if I could just pull up a tab.
Oh, I can find it. It's in a folder.
I'm sure we'll find it somewhere. But you literally have, like, you're just anti-computer, even though you have your computer sitting here. But when you're writing down like win totals and predictions, you literally like make this makeshift like chart on a piece of computer paper, and there's a lot of things marked off. I mean, can you even read that?
That's what I'm saying. Just bear with me.
But if you would have done this, okay.
We are going to start with Georgia, and I will say you were finally right. You actually got it right. You've been predicting that Georgia would win the national championship for at least a decade at this point. And
no,
it finally happened.
No, not a decade.
But did it... So, we both predicted Georgia to go 12-0, which they did.
Yes.
Curtis had them going 11-1.
What a loser.
With a loss to Clemson.
What a loser.
So...
Love you, Curtis. Just kidding.
Did it play out like you thought it would?
Well, I mean, Charlie, first off, let me say thank you very much for acknowledging my level of intelligence and the fact that I just know more than... Then, well, at least Curtis, right? I guess we both had him 12. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you know, Charlie, this did play out, well, exactly how I thought it would. I thought that we'd beat Clemson. I told you guys coming this season, really all during the offseason, I felt really good about that game. Now, I didn't know it was going to be a nail-biter the way that it was. It's going to be like no offensive touchdown. Can't say I saw that coming. But I looked at our schedule, and this was as manageable of a regular season schedule as we were going to have. I didn't think that Clemson was going to be as good. I wasn't completely sold on DJU as like the guy coming in this year was going to fill right in for Trevor Lawrence. And that clearly proved to be the case. Now, he was worse than I thought he would be. I thought he'd be a very good quarterback. I just think he'd be like Trevor Lawrence level in his first year as a starter. But he just was not good. We'll see if he even starts with them all next year. And I just think I wasn't a believer in Florida. I thought Florida won the SEC last year. They had some generational players like Kyle Pitts. But also, we just kind of fell apart, especially the quarterback position. We had, obviously, the opt-out at the beginning of the year and the Dewan Mathis disaster. And Stetson did an admirable job for us. Obviously, we didn't beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa. And we had some injuries late in the season. We were so banged up when we played Florida. But I felt like coming this year, we had more talent. We were the better team. And the fact was, I felt that we were the more talented team every single week this season. I felt like we were going to be coming into the year, and it proved to be that way. Obviously, we had that little hiccup in Atlanta. I did not predict that. I did predict us when I think I did. We do the SEC championship picks. I think we did.
No.
Yes, we did. We did a playoff picks.
Playoff.
Well, I had Georgia as the one seed, so that means I thought that we were going to win the SEC championship. So I missed on that. But other than that, yeah, I feel pretty good, Charlie. You're right. I do predict us to win basically every year, but that's because, Charlie, we are as talented as anyone in the country every single year, and I've been saying for years, it's only a matter of time. Things had to line up, balls had to roll our way, had to bounce our way, get some breaks, and you know what, Charlie? It finally happened. It finally happened. So yeah, I missed a couple years in a row, but you know what? Wasn't that far off. This year, nailed it.
And
finally.
A little side note on our playoff picks, we all had Clemson and Ohio State. Oklahoma. We were so wrong on that.
Well, yeah.
Three of those.
Yeah, well, okay. Clemson, yes. That was good DJU. If DJ Uiagalelei was
not scared for his life after he played Georgia?
I think that, yeah, honestly, I think we broke him. I will stand by that. I think that we broke him. I think he was seeing ghosts the rest of the year. Because you go back and look at last year, I guess, the 2020 season, yeah, it was a small sample size, only two starts, but he was fantastic in both those starts. And guys, I watched those starts all offseason long, probably like four times each minimum coming into the regular season because I knew that he was going to be their quarterback. And he was good. He was a different guy in those two games in 2020 than he was all this year. I think that we broke him. I really do. I think we shot his confidence and he never really recovered from there. But yeah, I mean, that was more a function of who's going to challenge than the ACC. The ACC being so weak. I didn't see them losing that NC State. Oklahoma, yeah, Oklahoma should have been better. Spencer Rattler was not as good as I thought he was going to be. That was a bad pick there. But they were. It wasn't like that far off. Ohio State was close, Charlie. Ohio State was one loss away. I mean, yeah, they lost the game to Michigan, but they would have won that game. They were whoever won that game was going to go into the Big Ten championship game for the right to destroy Iowa, and it happened to be Michigan. But I mean, I don't think it was a terrible pick.
All right,
Ohio State was still a Rose Bowl team.
Yeah, are you ready to move on?
Oh yeah, you brought it up.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up, Florida, coming off an SEC East championship in 2020, there were plenty out there in the national media still pumping up Dan Mullen and the Gators, but that proved to be an incredibly
bad Charlie, what happened
take.
To Dan Mullen?
Well, he got fired.
He got fired, Charlie.
And the team collapsed to a 6-6 record. I had Florida. I was way higher on Florida.
What did you have
than
them
other people? I had them at 9-3.
Well, I think that was the general consensus. I think you were way higher than other people. Most people had them around that.
Curtis had him at 7-5. He was the closest, and you had him at 8-4.
Yeah, I've got to give Curtis credit on that when he had him at 7-5. That's a good pick, Kurt. Good
we'll
pick.
We'll see what good old Billy Napier can do next year.
With his game changer coordinator?
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yes. No, I don't know.
He's calling his special teams coordinator the game changing coordinator.
Oh, no, I did not see that.
Yeah,
it's
a thing. Okay. So we thought that they were getting a real coach who was not a clown like Dan Mullen. Maybe we were wrong on that.
He was replaced by another clown.
I don't think he's quite as clownish as Dan Mullen. It's very hard. But, like, game... I mean, I had respect for Billy Napier coming in. He was from the Saban tree, but game changer coordinator? I don't even know. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. So I had him at, what, 8-4?
Yeah. So did that play out how you thought it would? Played out even better.
Yeah, I mean... I'm loving that I was wrong on this. I did not see them going into the tank as bad as they did. I didn't think Dan Mullen was going to get fired this year. You know, obviously coming off their trip to Atlanta in 2020, you know, he had a lot of fun talking a lot of trash, so could have happened to a nicer guy. But no, I thought that they would be third in the SEC East. I was pretty clear on that really all offseason long, all throughout the summer. I thought Kentucky was going to be the team that was going to finish in second, and I thought Florida would be a good, solid team. But I was not a believer in Emory Jones and what they had at the quarterback position. I thought they lost a ton of skill talent. They had some decent guys. You know, Copeland's fine, but they were going to have a really hard time replacing Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts and Grimes. And then, you know, obviously the quarterback situation. You have Emory Jones coming in here. They're all, of course, all the Florida fans. This is what fans do. We do it in the Georgia fan base as well. You pump up these guys who haven't played in a while. Be like, you know, they were sitting behind, you know, Kyle Trask. You know, he's just been waiting his turn. He's going to be a killer, man. You don't even know. And it's like, well, dude, he's been here for like 4 years and hasn't done anything. So you expect me to just like trust that he's going to be awesome this year? No, he's not going to be. And it proved to be the case. So I think if Dan Mullen hadn't gotten fired and they hadn't had like the hot seat stuff at the end of the year, I think they probably would have finished about 8-4, but the bottom dropped out obviously when he started losing his mind, which is what Dan Mullen does. Like, I'm not really, I'm really not that surprised that he got fired, because I knew there were some people within that administration who he graded their nerves. He was grading on their nerves, I should say. But he won. But then when you don't win, all of a sudden now the fact that you're... I'm going to try to put this very nicely. I'm just going to call him a clown, Charlie. We're going to stick with that. People can accept that you're a clown when you're winning. But when you're a clown and you're not winning, Charlie, that's when you should get fired. And that's exactly what happened here. So the wheels kind of fell off the end there. I did not see them losing to South Carolina. I did not see them losing to Missouri. Actually, did I have them? Who did I have them losing to? I have Florida losing to Alabama. Got that one. Had them losing Kentucky. Got that one. Had them losing at LSU. And I had them losing to us. I had them beating South Carolina, Missouri. Didn't see those losses. But yeah, you know, 8-4. That's kind of. I feel like they were really talent wise an 8-4 team. But obviously, with Mullen getting fired, the wheels kind of fell off there. And that loss to LSU was just tough, man. That's a tough loss for them.
Well, we'll see how soon they can be the runner up in the SEC East. I think.
I still think they have enough talent to be an 8-4 team next year. Like Florida, they still have talent. They find a decent quarterback. I mean, they got that Jack Miller guy coming in from Ohio State. We'll see. But, I mean, and Napier's a competent coach. He's done a good job where he's been. They'll probably be 9-3, 8-4 next year.
All right.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Well, next up, we all had Kentucky going 10-2 and finishing second in the East, and that's exactly what happened. What did you see in Kentucky in the preseason that led you to believe they were a 10-win team?
Number one.
Also, Stoops got a...
Yeah, every year that he gets
a raise and a
contract.
It's
a rollover
extension.
Contract, an extra year rollover. First thing I see, Charlie, is just, you mentioned Stoops, just an incredibly well-coached football team. They are not the most talented team in the country, but they're very, very well-coached. They have an identity. He's built an identity there. They had an incredible offensive line coming this season, a really strong running game. Chris Rodriguez, one of the more underrated running backs in the country coming to the year. He played really well, and I thought that Will Levis was going to be an upgrade over Terry Wilson at quarterback. Levis started out hot, and then he kind of came back down to earth, but I still think he was an upgrade over what they had at Terry Wilson. He brought more consistency to the game, at least just more competence passing. He had his share of struggles too, don't get me wrong. I thought that Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator that they brought in from the Rams, the Sean McVay tree, was going to add something to their offense after years and years of Eddie Grant and kind of jumpstart things. And they were not dynamic offensively, but they play really good defense because that's what Mark Stoops teams do. They run the ball really well, and that's exactly what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to beat Florida at home. I thought their schedule was very manageable other than the fact that they had to make a trip to Athens. I thought they were going to lose that game. Who did I have them losing to? I had them losing to LSU and Georgia. They had beat LSU, they lost to us, and they lost to Tennessee. I didn't see them losing to Tennessee, but yeah, 10-2, that's what I had them. I figured they'd be second in the East, and sometimes you get them right, Charlie. Got that one right.
All right. Well, Missouri managed to sneak into the postseason in year two of the Eli Drinkwitz era at 6-6 before losing to Army in their bowl game.
I did nail that pick.
I had Missouri at 8-4. I was a little higher on them. Curtis had them at 9-3.
Oh, Curtis.
And you nailed their record at 6-6. Did that one play out like you thought it would? They beat Florida.
I did not see them beating Florida. I had them at 6-6. Who did I have them? I don't even remember who I had them losing to. But I did definitely. Yeah, I had them losing to Florida. I did not have that one as a win for them. That's what got them into a bowl game. I did not see. I mean, by the time we got to that game, when Dan Mullins basically was gone and the Florida was just face planting, I was like, oh man, Missouri could definitely win this football game. And lo and behold, they did win that football game, which is really what got Dan Mullen fired. But I guess losing to South Carolina is really what got Dan Mullen fired. I mean, God, you lose to South Carolina in Missouri back-to-back
weeks. Oh, yeah, that was
weeks.
The game afterwards where they did, like, the end zone video.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina did.
Yeah.
And it was like, God. They have. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I did not see those two losses for Florida. Missouri was pretty much what I thought they were going to be. I thought they would be a team that was going to be solid offensively. But, I mean, I was big on Tyler Beatty coming this season. Honestly, I don't know why Tyler Beatty wasn't their feature back in years past. I know Larry Roundtree was the guy, and Tyler Beatty was kind of like their James Cook. They're kind of like their complimentary piece. I always felt like Tyler Beatty was better than Larry Roundtree. He was far more electric, more dynamic, more of an explosive home run threat. And I just never understood why they didn't play him more. And then when he was the guy last year, he ran for like 2,000 yards. I mean, he was incredible. And I didn't think he was going to be that good. I mean, I can't seriously say I thought he was going to be like a borderline 2,000-yard rusher. But I was high on him, and I thought he would carry that team. Connor Bazick, I expected a little bit more out of him. But, I mean, I think I said during the preseason, like, yeah, he's going to be a pretty good quarterback, but I don't think he's an elite guy. He hasn't shown me that. So, absent that, I can't really go too high on them. So, I felt 6-6 was going to be the right mark for them. I thought they were going to be really bad on defense. They lost some really good players. Nick Bolton's now a starter in the NFL. So, yeah, I think 6-6 was kind of – I thought they were kind of a middling team. I thought they would sneak into a bowl game and got that one right.
All right. Moving down the list, the Vols were a little ahead of schedule and slightly exceeded expectations with a 7-5 regular season this year. You had them at 6-6. How surprised were you by the season they had?
What did you have them at?
I had them at 5-7.
So you were right
so
there.
Did Curtis.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, I feel like if you're within a game, like, you're right there.
Well, that was two games.
Oh, shoot, they went 7-5. You're right. Yeah. Okay, well, you're still kind of, I mean. Yeah, close enough. I mean, they should have been 7-5, I guess. They found a quarterback. They Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
I thought that they were going to go with maybe Harrison Bailey in the preseason. That's why I was like,
They were much better than I thought they would have been this year.
Yeah, they were more much better offensively. They were still a train wreck defensively. Hendon Hooker really changed things for them. They were not really looking very solid. They lost to Pitt, or at least I guess Pitt ended up being a good team. They won the ACC. But, yeah, look, I'll give Tennessee credit. They were ahead of schedule. I think that Heupel came in there and he got their offense really humming, especially, again, once Hendon Hooker became their quarterback. He rejected some new life into that offense. And they had some weapons out wide. Velus Jones ended up being a really good player for them. They had a couple running backs that were never elite, but they were good. They ran the up-tempo kind of offense, which is tough to prepare for. They were still a train wreck defensively. They won a couple games that I didn't think they would win. Like looking back at the schedule, so they beat... I had them losing to Missouri. They beat Missouri by like 40 points. I actually bet on that game, and I bet on Tennessee to win straight up in that game, actually, and I won that one. But in the preseason, I picked them to lose to Missouri. I had them losing to Ole Miss. They lost. I did not have them beating Kentucky. That was one that really surprised me. Them winning at Kentucky. Did not see that one coming. That was a fun game to watch. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like I was close on that one. They were just a little bit ahead of schedule offensively for me. I didn't think that they would be humming on all cylinders offensively that fast. And I know, I mean, in retrospect, Josh Heupel is a really good offensive coach. It's how he's kind of cut his teeth coming up. So that was a mistake. But they're still a trade-up defensively. They still don't have the talent to really compete for, like, second place in the SEC East. I know a lot of their fans are really high on what they're going to be next year. I'm not sure I see that yet. They've got to figure out a lot of things on defense.
All right. Well, like Tennessee, South Carolina and Shane Beamer exceeded expectations for year one. We both had them going 4-8, but they ended up going 6-6 in the regular season with upset victories over Florida and Auburn late in the season. How many games did the GA play in?
Zeb Nolan?
Yeah.
He started the first, like, three games this season, and then he got hurt, and he came back late in the season.
He played in the bowl game,
He played in the bowl game. He was supposed to start in the bowl game, but then they actually had a converted wide receiver who was once a quarterback, brought him back to play quarterback. They were switching back and forth. He probably started, like, five or six games for him.
They did the best they could with what they had.
They really did. I mean, Luke Doty was supposed to be the guy at quarterback. He came back, and then he got hurt again. Got his foot hurt in the preseason, but yeah.
All right, so what did we miss about this South Carolina team?
I think South Carolina, honestly, I know everyone wants to look back and look at their record and say, well, they 6-6, went to a bowl game, they beat North Carolina, go 7-6. They got a lot of momentum. They really surprised everyone. They were way better than everyone thought they were going to be. I don't think they were way better than I thought they were going to be. I think watching them play all season, they were exactly who I thought they were going to be. Here's what helped them, Charlie. Late in the season, they played two teams in Florida and Auburn who had basically quit.
Yeah.
Florida had quit. Absolutely. We broke Florida. And if they would have played Florida in week three, Florida would have beat them by 3 touchdowns. I truly, right? I mean, is that crazy?
No.
Really? I think they would have beaten by 3 touchdowns. And then they get to play Auburn. And look, I don't think Bo Nix is great, right? You know, I'm a Bo Nix hater, have been my entire life.
Oh, now Dan Lanning has to put up with that.
He chose it, man. I'm not a Bo Nix guy. I've made that very clear. But Charlie, Bo Nix didn't play in that game. Right?
Right.
Against South Carolina. So they benefited from, even though I don't think Bo Nix is very good, he's far, far better than TJ Finley was. TJ Finley was an absolute disaster for them. And I know he helped them win the Georgia State game. Late in the season when Nix got hurt, Finley was awful. And that's why they had to go to the transfer portal and bring in other quarterbacks, because Finley ain't the answer. They got to have somebody in there to compete with him. So, I mean, really, that's what happened with South Carolina. And everybody looks at their schedule and say, man, like Shane Beamer, man, like coach of the year, that guy, what a hell of a coach. It's like, really, I mean, they were kind of who I thought they were going to be. They just really benefited from Florida. Just quit late in the season after we beat them. Auburn didn't have Bo Nix. They were banged up. Their entire roster was banged up. And they won both those games at home when they played either one of those teams the first half of the year. They lose both those games by multiple scores. That's my take on South Carolina. I mean, I know technically I had 4-8. They went 6-6, so I was wrong. But I feel like they were the team I thought they were going to be. They just got lucky.
All right, well, the last team in the East is Vandy, who was terrible like we all predicted they would be.
Do we have to talk about Vandy, Charlie? What are we doing? I mean, I guess we have to.
We can make it short. They were even worse than we actually thought they were going to be. We all had them going 3-9. They were only able to go 2-10 and did not get a single SEC victory. So, thoughts?
Charlie, we beat them, what, 62-0?
I mean, it was ugly.
I think it was 62-0. We could have beat them 100-0 if we, like, legitimately. I'm not, like, that's not hyperbole. We could have beat them 100-0 if Kirby Smart would have wanted to beat them 100-0. We could have named our score in that game. I mean, Vandy, Jesus Christ, man, 2-10. So, who did they, lost to East Tennessee State? No, who did they lose to? Who did they lose to? I had them beating East Tennessee State, Colorado State, and UConn. They lost one of those games. I know they beat Colorado State. I'm fairly certain they beat UConn, so they lost to East Tennessee State?
Yes.
Let's look this up. I gotta confirm this. I know that Vanderbilt was terrible. Yes, got it right here. They lost to East Tennessee State. That's exactly right. I remember that. Opening game of the year, 23-3, lost to East Tennessee State. Charlie, I have no words that I want to spend on Vanderbilt. I mean, I thought they'd be terrible. They were worse than I thought they would be. They somehow lost to East Tennessee State at home by 3 touchdowns.
Sounds great. So we'll move over to the West. We're going to start with Alabama. We both got this one right, predicting the Tide to go 11-1 in the regular season. Curtis had them going 12-0.
I think Curtis is a closet Bama fan.
We had maybe. Just we had him 11-1.
We love you, Kurt.
With a loss to A&M. Do you feel like you were right on the Tide this season?
Well, yes and no. I mean, regular season, I had him 11-1, right? Right? Is that what you said? I had them 11-1. I had them losing to A&M. They went 11-1. They lost to A&M. So I got that right. And I said all season that I did not think that they were a vintage Alabama team. I said that in the preseason. And I know they made it in the national championship game. So it's like, God, man. So you're telling me this wasn't a vintage Alabama team? They still made it in the national championship game? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I think they were a really, really good team relative to everyone else in the country. But I don't think it was a great Alabama team. It was a really, really good Alabama team. But not the best team that Nick Saban's had. I was wrong in the fact that I did not see them, number one, win the SEC championship game. I thought that we would finally get over the hump in the SEC championship game. I didn't know it would be in the national championship game. We got over the hump. It was just a game later than I thought. And I did not see them making the college football playoff. I didn't think there were going to be two SEC teams. Because I thought Bama would have two losses after we beat them in the SEC championship game. That would knock them out of the playoffs. And therefore, I was wrong there. But regular season, yeah, you know, got that one right.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
You know, I mean, every now and then, I mean, a couple of them. I think I did really good on the East. I think that might be the only one I got right in the West. Maybe I got Ole Miss right. I did not do well in the West.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, first I remember glance. Like,
we'll
I kind of
get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. The West was not pretty for me.
Well, we both had A&M to beat Bama, but we were also a little too high on them. I had A&M going undefeated. Bad choice.
Yep. That was
you
a very
had
bad
them 11-1 with a loss to LSU.
Also a bad choice.
They actually went 8-4, so. What did we miss about them?
You know, I remember now. It's been a while. I actually had A&M in the SEC Championship game, right? That's what I had because I had both them and Bama 11-1 with A&M winning head up and going to the SEC Championship game. I was wrong there. I was way off there. So, I don't know. Here's what we missed about A&M. Their quarterback situation was far worse than I thought it was. And we don't really know what they had in Haynes King. He was the guy that was going to be their starter coming into the year. He got hurt in the Colorado game. I think it was week two. And then old Zach Calzada from Lanier High School here in Georgia, Gwinnett County, came in and he was up and down. He actually played really well against Bama at home. Obviously, they won that football game. But he was the problem for them all year long. They lost basically every game they lost came down to him. Honestly, their offense is behind the times. People want to talk about how Kirby Smart's holding back our offense. Jimbo Fisher's an offensive coach, and he's single-handedly holding back that offense. They are old-school, pro-style offense. They are not explosive. They have not been explosive one single year since Jimbo Fisher's been there. Maybe that's a product of them not having the right guy at quarterback. I don't know. But that offense is antiquated, and they got to figure if A&M wants to take the next step, they got to figure that out. They had some really good players on defense. I thought their defense would be really good. Their defense was really good. They had two fantastic running backs. I thought they should lean on them more. They didn't lean on them as much, especially when you consider, like, again, Calzada was just not good. They did not run the ball as much as they probably should have. They put too much on Calzada, and they just didn't have enough weapons around him. Weidermeyer was good at tight end, although he certainly should not have been a Mackey Award finalist. Still cannot get over the fact that he was a Mackey Award finalist over Brock Bowers. That is insanity. Whatever, not bitter. Clearly bitter. But yeah, I mean, they were a train wreck at quarterback, and that's what derailed that team. That team had the talent to be a 10-2, 11-1 team, Charlie. I stand by that. Problem for them was the most important position on the field. And that's been the story for us for a couple years, right? But people want to talk about how Kirby Smart, and hopefully this is a dead narrative now that we've won a national championship, but for years, oh, he's a great recruiter, but he can't develop a quarterback. Oh, he can't develop any players. He's not a great coach. Kirby Smart has been right there sniffing around national title since, I guess, his first year, going into year two, right, 2017. Jimbo Fisher, national championship winning coach, had an incredibly talented roster, went 8-4 that roster. So why don't we start talking about Jimbo Fisher's? Maybe he's not as good as everyone wants to say he is. This guy's been paid, $100 million?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Where's the heat on him?
Maybe. All right. Well, another team we were pretty off on was LSU. We both had them going 8-4, but obviously it was a train wreck of a season for them basically right out of the gate. Coach O got fired. They had a ton of opt-outs from early in the season.
Well, remember they went to UCLA?
Yeah.
And then he's like walking the stage there heckling him. He's yelling. Like, you and your sissy blue shirt. And it's like, oh, that didn't age so well, coach.
No.
Then you went and got beat by the sissy blue shirts. Bad.
Yeah. So overall, they finished 6-6. So
tough
why
year.
Are we so off on that?
At least
he stuck around and finished the season?
I did not ever believe that Coach O was like, yes, technically he won national championship. But Charlie, was Coach O ever really like a national championship caliber coach? He lucked into getting Joe Burrow and Joe Brady in the same year, some talented wide receivers, and the rest is history. But that was not a sustainable thing for him. And I knew that, but I did not see the bottom dropping out the way it did this year. It's just like Florida, Charlie. It just happened earlier with them than it did with Florida, right? Dan Mullen, the bottom dropped out when they were talking, when his seat got hot late in the year, and then they quit, and he ends up getting fired. That happened to Coach O just at the beginning of the year. And so we kind of focus on them all year long. And then, of course, they had all the opt-outs and all that. But I can't stand by the pick. I had them, 8-4? I think at one point I was toying with them. I think before we knew that Mac Johnson was going to be the quarterback. Because remember, they had a quarterback battle. One guy goes down, and then Max Johnson's now the guy, right? And that's when I kind of readjusted my picks. I was like, I'm not a believer in Max Johnson. So I went 8-4 with them. But that was a talented team, Charlie. I know a lot of those talented players opted out, but it was a really talented team. And they should never have gone 6-6. Too much talent. Like A&M. A&M should not have been 8-4. LSU should not have been 6-6 with the talent they had on that team. But when Coach O, I mean, the administration just wanted to fire him. They were ready to get rid of him. They were looking for a reason. And when they started out the way they did, and he was talking the way he was talking and, like, going on dates in Los Angeles when they were there for the UCLA game, like the night before the game, you just can't do that kind of stuff. And then when he gets fired, and they, or at least they work out the buyout or whatever they did, then the season was done. And that's basically what happened there. It's just a really talented team that just was, a victim of circumstances with their coach.
All right, well, let's turn to a team that had a more positive season with Ole Miss. So we definitely missed on A&M and LSU.
Yeah, missed on those.
But I'm going to give us a little bit more credit here. I had them going 9-3.
I think I had them like
you
exactly.
You had them going 10-2, yes.
And they went 10-2, right?
We both had them higher than like everyone.
Yeah, I took a leap of faith on
and
them.
And they ended up going 10-2, so good job. You got it right.
Yeah, it's probably maybe one of the only ones in the SEC West I got right.
Except for that Alabama game where he told everybody to go, you know, pop their popcorn.
He panicked in that game.
Yeah.
He panicked early in that game.
He couldn't rise to the pressure.
Well, he just panicked. He thought.
Yeah. Right. So what did you see about the Rebels in the preseason that gave you the ability to take the leap of faith on the
Two
Rebels?
Words. Matt Corral.
I really like Matt Corral.
Matt Corral is a baller. And I know his numbers weren't nearly what they were in 2020. But that was because there was just a rash of injuries at the receiver position. I mean, they were decimated early in the season at receiver. And that guy just kept going out there and literally putting his body on the line game after game after game. And when you have a quarterback like that, when you have a future first-round draft pick at quarterback, you have a good head coach, Lane Kiffin, that knows how to run an offense and knows how to build an offense. And I felt they were going to be improved on defense. They were clearly not going to be great on defense, but I liked some of the changes that they had made schematically. I liked some of the guys they'd brought in the transfer portal, Otis Reese from Georgia, Chance Campbell coming in from Maryland. And I had some respect for those players. I felt like they would be better, and they were. They weren't great, but they were better. And then you kind of pair that with Matt Corral and some of the other teams in the SEC. Let's be real, Charlie. What also helped them were teams like LSU imploding and A&M playing way under their talent level. Auburn, they lost to Auburn. But yeah. That Corral got hurt in that game. It was really primarily the reason they lost that game. They had a couple of the receivers go out in that game too. But I felt with Matt Corral, with the schedule that they had, with Lane Kiffin, building off what they had done the year before, defense was going to be at least slightly improved. Couldn't, honestly, I know I usually hate saying this because it's a lazy take, but in this case it was really true. They couldn't be worse than they were in 2020. I felt like things were aligned for them to make a pretty big jump and took a little leap of faith and happened to get that one right.
All right. Well, you nailed Ole Miss, but we missed badly.
Yeah, I did not.
On the other team in the Magnolia State. We both had Mississippi State going 4-8, but Mike Leach went out and won 7 games in the regular season. So how bad was this pick?
It wasn't great, Charlie. This is one of the worst picks I made all year.
I did win a lot of money on Mississippi State.
You will always remind everyone about that, right? Have you spent a dime there? Or did you just take all that? Did you like cash it out and frame it?
I haven't done anything with it. It's just sitting there.
Just so you can just pull it up anytime you want.
Anytime
just
I need
reminisce
some money,
about
I
that one time
it.
You nailed a bet.
Yep.
I love it, Charlie. I love it. I think we did talk about it on the show, right?
Yeah.
It's when they played Auburn.
Yeah.
So that was the weekend that we played
the first
Tennessee.
Half was
oh, we
like,
were not. Boom. We were. Yeah, we played in Knoxville. Yeah. That's why you were able to gamble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that. This is a really bad pick. So I had them 4-8.
Yeah.
And they went 7-5. And honestly, they should have been about 9-3. They lost a game to Memphis that was stolen for them by like horrific officiating,
that was ugly.
Like terrible officiating. So I mean. What other game was it that they almost won? I think that was kind of stolen from them. So they definitely had Memphis. They should have beaten LSU. I don't know how they lost to LSU. I picked them to lose to LSU, but they actually won money on that game. I picked LSU to beat them, bet on that game. I think that was when we were in Nashville. Again, in Tennessee, you can gamble legally. And yeah, got that one right. But they easily could have won that game. So they honestly were better than even what their final record was. I was way off on Mississippi State. I was not a believer in what they had come back on defense. I thought they lost too much on defense. I was wrong there. They were actually good on defense. I wasn't sold on Will Rogers yet at quarterback. Will Rogers just went out and basically led the SEC in most major statistical categories for quarterbacks, not in yards per attempt. They're kind of a ball control offense now, which is really weird because teams are playing this drop eight coverage against them. So instead of being this high flying air raid offense of yesteryear, they still run the same air raid stuff, but they have to take all these checkdowns, and they've kind of embraced that. So they're a ball control offense now. It's crazy. They grind out like 7-8 minute drives. So they throw the ball, you know, every down, but it's like, oh, 3 yards here, 6 yards there, 5 yards there. They kind of just make their way down the field like 12, 13 plays at a time. But Will Rogers was way better than I thought they would be, And they had, honestly, better receivers than I did not give those guys enough credit coming into the year. But they were not an elite team, but that was a team that, again, I think could have been 9-3 very, very easily. And I missed it. Will Rogers, I mean, quarterback's most important position on the field, and I was wrong on that one.
Hey, good for Mike Leach.
They also were a disaster in 2020. They started off really hot, right? And I wasn't 100% sold that Mike Leach was going to get it going in the SEC, but I was wrong there. Good for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, you were pretty close on Auburn. Just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Curtis had them going 7-5. We both had them going 5-7. They managed to hit 6-6 and barely limp into the bowl season.
So we were one game under what they were going to be, and Curtis was one game over.
Exactly. Okay. So I know you were pretty adamant in the preseason that you weren't a believer in Auburn.
No.
And you were pretty much proven right on that.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that Alabama game? Jeez.
God, it's a rivalry game, Charlie. Like, that's the only way you can explain that game.
Never know. Never know.
I mean, they were able to pressure Bryce Young, which is what you have to do to have a chance against Alabama, which is clearly what we did not do in the first matchup in this championship game.
All right, but what did you see in this Auburn team in the preseason that you didn't believe in?
Well, they're the anti-Ole Miss. So yeah. I believed in Ole Miss because I believe so deeply in Matt Corral. I love what I saw from him in 2020.
And then Bo Nix.
The flip side, Auburn, I've watched Bo Nix for 2 years coming this year, and I was like, this guy is garbage. On some level, you kind of feel bad for the kid because he's an Auburn legacy, right? He grew up his entire life loving Auburn, knowing he was going to go to Auburn, and then now you had to transfer out, you know? I mean, because it's a toxic environment. So everyone in Auburn, like, they finally have realized, the national media finally woke up during the season to what I've been saying for 2 years, that Bo Nix is a hype train. You guys just hype him up, but he's not good at all. He's just simply not. He had that one game, his first game of his career against Oregon. He was terrible all game long in the neutral side. I think it was in Houston. He was awful all game long. And then he was able to string together, I think, 2 drives late in the game. They score on both those drives. I think Seth Williams made a great touchdown catch to bail him out to win that game, the go-ahead touchdown. And then the Bo Nix hype train was off. The legend was born. I'm sitting here, I'm watching, I'm like, but guys, he's not good. He's just not good. You almost lost the game because he was so bad the rest of the game. And that was just the story of the Bo Nix career. I thought after the Georgia State game that they should have lost, that his career might be done then.
Yeah.
But, you know, give him credit. He fought back. And I think he was actually better this year. He was less of a disaster. And then he gets injured, and that's just it sucks for him. I will say, like, because if that was me, Charlie, say I grew up, my dad was a former Georgia player. I grew up loving the Georgia Bulldogs like I did. All I wanted to do my entire life was play for Georgia. I get there. I'm a legend at first. People love me, but I can't really hack it. And then people kind of start turning on me. They want me gone, and then I have to transfer out and go across the country to Oregon. That does something to somebody. Like that hurts. That would destroy me. So maybe, I mean,
I do pretty well.
I'm sure he's looking at it from like a business standpoint. Obviously, he's trying to get ready for the pros, and he's trying to put some tape out there where he can get drafted and make some money. I get that for your future career, but, you know, deep down, like, sentimentally, that sucks.
Right. That's what I mean.
That sucks. But really, that's why I didn't believe in Auburn. I also thought, I mean, defensively, they were not really good in 2020, and they lost some players off that defense. I was not a big believer in Owen Papo, who everyone, you know, coming out of Grayson High School, was talking about this guy is going to be a future superstar. I told y'all back when we were recruiting him to Kobe Dean that we got the better player between those two. People told me that was just sour grapes, that N'Kobe Dean was too short, and that we really wanted Owen Papo. We only took Dean because we couldn't get Papo. And even if that's true, N'Kobe Dean was going to be a better player. He was just going to be a better player. I spent his entire career watching Papo play, guys. I am from Gwinnett County. I've seen that guy play. I did watch him play his entire high school career many times in person. And was just never all that impressed with him. Anyway, I just thought they had some players on defense that were kind of overhyped. I didn't see the game changers on defense, and I didn't think Bo Nix was good enough offensively. That's the most important position on the field. I didn't see where their game changers were going to be on offense. I just didn't see. They lost their two best receivers coming into 2021 with an average at best quarterback. How are you supposed to be good? With a new coach, I didn't think it was a fit there, which kind of proved to be the case. So yeah, I there's a lot of reasons for me to not buy Auburn. In fact, there were very few reasons for anyone to try to buy Auburn coming this season. I'm honestly still surprised. I think they overachieved going 6-6. I don't think they were a 6-6 caliber team.
Okay. All right. Well, finally, Arkansas. Sam Pittman shocked everyone except for me, leading Arkansas.
Oh, pat yourself on the back. That's your boy.
To an 8-4
you and Sam Pittman.
Regular season and a New Year's Day bowl game. Good for them. I had them going 7-5, so they ended up doing better than what I thought. You had them at 5-7. You were wrong. Why were you so wrong?
I was very wrong on this one. Charlie, I gotta ask you a question. During Sam Pittman's time here in Athens, did you just ever like just come across him at some point and meet up with him and you guys developed this like really great friendship somewhere along the lines?
I think
something
a nice
more
guy.
Than friends, I don't know. Like you are like all about Sam Pittman. You think he's a nice guy?
I do.
There's a lot of nice guys out there. You don't rave about them like you do Sam Pittman.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I just want to get to the bottom of the story here. I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
He's a nice guy. Good coach.
He is a nice guy. I do like Sam Pittman. I have a soft spot for Sam as well. But yes, he did shock me, man. What did I have him at? 5-7? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to own that one. That was a bad pick. Arkansas was a really good... I mean, they were a top 10 team when we played them, right? Now, were they ever really a top 10 team? No, it's just a function of the rankings. They were never that good, but they were a very good football team. 8-4. They won their bowl game. I won money off that too. Thank you, Hogs. Thank you, Sam Pittman. Ended up 9-4. Actually won some SEC games. I mean, Sam Pittman, I know in 2020 they weren't great, but just the fact they won some SEC games in 2020 during that COVID year lifted a weight off the Arkansas fan base. And I mean, I told you guys one thing. I did not get them right. Right, I had them 5-7. They ended up 8-4 in the regular season. I was way off there. Treylon Burks, though, I told you guys he was the best receiver in the league coming in, and I think he maybe Jameson Williams ended up being the best receiver in the league, but Treylon Burks was right there. That guy is a monster. I did not properly account for how good he was going to be. And defensively, they were a lot better than I thought they were going to be as well. So I got to give that team credit. I got to give Sam Pittman a lot of credit there. I don't think they were an absurdly talented team. I really don't. He's done a really good job now of trying to hit the transfer portal, and he's recruiting better now. I think he had two really good coordinators that certainly helped him along there. But Sam Pittman set the groundwork and did a fantastic job, and they certainly, in my opinion, overachieved relative to the talent they have on that team. Because there were other teams like LSU, Charlie, even with the opt-out, significantly more talented than Arkansas. But yeah, they fell flat on their face. So that's got to tell you something about like how important coaching can be. You got Coach O and that disaster, and you got Sam Pittman on the other side. So I know there were some people that were, especially in the national media, who were puzzled by that hire. And I got to say, like, I thought it was a little bit of a reach myself, but Sam Pittman has done a hell of a job there. Got to give him credit, and I was definitely off on that one, Charlie. I feel like you're more excited about Sam Pittman going 8-4 than us with the national title at this point.
No.
Like, your face just lit up. You got to Arkansas. I know people can't see this, but your face just lit up when you got to Sam Pittman.
No, because you were wrong.
Oh, it's just that I was wrong. So
well,
you,
I mean, on that one.
Oh, okay.
Because you're always like, why do you think they're going to be good?
I have to ask questions, Charlie. I don't like when people don't give me a reason why somebody's going to be good. But, yeah, all in all, SEC West, not good. I really feel like I did pretty well on the SEC East. I got most of those. I think like five of seven teams in the East I got within one game. I think only two of seven teams in the West within one game. So, yeah, nailed Bama, nailed Ole Miss. Other than that, not great on the SEC West this year, but it's all right. Still feel like we did pretty well overall. How do you feel about your picks overall?
I mean, they weren't horrible.
I mean, what was your best pick? What was your best pick? Let's see, Charlie.
Georgia.
Okay. I feel like you just like bandwagoned me on that one, though.
And Bama.
I think you bandwagoned me. How come you could talk trash about me picking Georgia every year? You picked us to go 12-0.
But I don't do it every year.
I feel like you do, though.
No.
All right, you nailed Bama. What was your worst pick?
Florida, maybe?
Yeah, the 9-3. Yeah, okay, they went 6-6. My worst pick was Mississippi State. Was the one I was most off on? No, A&M. I was most off on A&M. I had them 11-1. I got the Bama pick right. Had them over Bama, but I did not see them going 8-4. They had too much talent. I mean, I still can't get over Jimbo Fisher going 8-4 that roster. Getting paid $100 million to go 8-4 that roster. That's a disaster. But all right, guys. So accountability. There it is. Got some right, got some wrong. We always have fun making those picks. I Charlie, I truly do love it. Like when it's preseason time. I get to pull out the helmet schedule. I get to print it off, nice crisp sheet of paper, and then just go through and pick every game. I love that. I also love going back and seeing what we got right, what we got wrong. Again, some right, some wrong. But always fun to go back and take a look at it. So it's nice having you back, Charlie.
Yeah.
Is this going to be like a weekly offseason thing? Or what's the deal here? Can we hash this out?
We'll see.
We'll just see you when we see you?
Yeah.
When we're lucky, when you decide to grace us with your presence?
Yes.
But you will be back at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to be talking some Georgia tennis.
Absolutely.
At some point. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in today. We always appreciate the support. Whenever Curtis gets back from the wedding that he went to this past weekend, we'll get him back on the show probably Wednesday or Thursday of this week. And what we're going to do on that episode, we're going to look ahead. We've been reveling in this national championship for a couple of weeks now, but we've got a lot of people are asking us to take a look ahead to what we're going to be doing in 2022, what the team's going to look like in 2022. So Curtis and I will do that. It's like, hey, one national championship, what's next? That's coming up later this week. So make sure to check back in, guys. But thank you for listening. For Charlie, I'm Tyler. And as always, go Dawgs!